Have you ever stopped to think that the popular do what makes you happy mantra might actually just be a GPS leading you off the side of a cliff?
Awkward.
Stick around because you're about to discover the seven bold truths every Christian woman needs to face head-on, cutting through the noise of New Age spirituality with the sharp sword of biblical wisdom. Hi there, brave seekers of truth. My name is Ashley Burson Jones, and you are listening to the Faith to Hope Ministries podcast, where we tackle the tough questions about faith, life, and purpose. Loving our bold conversations? Well, hit the subscribe, share this goodness with your tribe, and click the link in the description to snag our exclusive purpose-driven career plan template, because who doesn't love a free roadmap to success? Let's dive into our first hard truth, the dangers of relativism. This philosophy suggests that truth is not absolute, but can vary based on circumstances, culture, or personal perspective. It's a bit like saying north on the compass can change depending on where you stand. This sounds flexible and open-minded, but here's the catch. If truth shifts, what do we anchor our faith to? Scripture gives us a clear counterpoint. In James 1:17, we learn that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. This tells us that God's character and truth are constant, unlike the ever-changing whims of society. Then we have the parable of the wise and foolish builders in Matthew 7:24 through 27. Jesus teaches us that the wise man who builds his house on the rock, the unchanging truth of God's word, can withstand any storm. Think about it. If our foundations are built on the shifting sands of personal truth, how will we stand firm in life's storms? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Have you ever found yourself swayed by your truth instead of the truth? Drop your experiences in the comments below and let's unpack the real life implications of living by shifting truths. Moving on to our second eye opener, prayer versus manifestation. In today's culture, there's a growing fascination with manifestation, which essentially teaches that if you want something badly enough and visualize it, the universe will deliver. Contrast this with Christian prayer, which is fundamentally completely different, really. According to Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Notice the difference. It's not about commanding the universe. It's about submitting to God's will. Prayer acknowledges God's sovereignty and it seeks alignment with his divine plan rather than trying to override it with our personal wish list. You know, this approach doesn't just reshape our desires. It transforms our hearts, aligning them with what God wants for us, which is ultimately much better than what we want for ourselves. But we'll delve more into how this submission reshapes our lives and why it's a healthier, more grounded way to live compared to self-centric nature of manifestation in hard truth number 7. And here's a tough truth to chew on, the allure of intuition versus the rock solid wisdom of scripture. In an age where following your heart and trusting your gut are seen as the pinnacle of personal authenticity, it's important to remember that these feelings, as real as they may be, are not infallible guides. Proverbs 3:5-6 offers a divine counter narrative, urging us to trust the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. This passage isn't just poetic, it's practical. It teaches us that our understanding can sometimes lead us astray if it isn't anchored in something greater than ourselves. Biblical wisdom, therefore, isn't about ignoring our intuition, but about framing it within the guidance God provides through scripture. This means actively seeking God's word when making decisions, big or small. The Bible doesn't merely suggest, but commands that our judgments and decisions be yoked to the insights it offers, ensuring they lead to life-giving outcomes rather than those led astray by mere feelings. If you would like to pick up a 19-page biblical decision-making guide that is chock full of scriptures to guide you in every way that you need to go to the Lord and petition for decisions, please feel free to click the link below to join the Christian Life Suite. You can get the entire bundle for $17. Next, we're taking a hard look at challenging cultural stereotypes, particularly those that confine Christian women to narrowly defined roles. Let's talk about Deborah from Judges 4-5. This prophetess, judge, and warrior led Israel to a monumental victory. Her story is a potent reminder reminder that God's vision for women stretches far beyond conventional boundaries. Now, I'm going to stir the pot a bit because while the Proverbs 31 woman is often upheld as the epitome of biblical womanhood, she's not the only model of what a woman can aspire to be. Yes, the Proverbs 30 woman is virtuous, industrious, and capable, embodying many qualities that are rightfully celebrated. But is she the sole archetype for a godly woman? Absolutely not. Consider Deborah's leadership, Miriam's prophetic role beside Moses, and Esther's courage in the face of literal genocide. These women are not quietly tending to daily tasks. They are boldly stepping into God-appointed roles that influence the destiny of nations. The inclusion of such diverse female figures in the Bible disrupts the narrative that a woman's contributions are confined to the domestic sphere. It's a clarion call for us today. Are we perhaps subconsciously subscribing to a diminished view of what roles women can fill? Are we limiting what God can do through us based on societal stereotypes or even well-meaning biblical interpretations? Deborah's story, alongside other dynamic women of the Bible, teaches us to challenge the limits placed on us, whether by our culture, our community, or even our own interpretations of scripture. It compels us to rise, lead, and wield our God-given strengths in ways that advance his kingdom on earth. So as we reflect on what it means to be a woman of faith today, let us expand our vision and embrace the full spectrum of roles that scripture lays out for us. In our fifth truth, we examine the stark contrast between Christian community values and the New Age emphasis on individualism. The New Age movement often promotes a journey of self-discovery and personal enlightenment that focuses predominantly on individual gain. However, this approach can lead to isolation and a disconnected sense of spirituality. In contrast, Acts 2, 44 through 47 paints a vivid picture of the early Christian community. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. This passage underscores the profound sense of unity and mutual care in the Christian faith, which is built on the foundation of fellowship. The principle extends beyond merely living together or sharing resources. It's about bearing one another's burdens, rejoicing together, mourning together, and growing together in faith. This interconnectedness reflects the body of Christ, where each member, uniquely gifted, is called to contribute to the well-being of the whole. Such scriptures challenge us to reconsider modern values that glorify going at it alone. They ask us to reflect on how we can foster genuine connections and look beyond our individual needs to serve the greater communal purposes. In doing so, we don't lose our individuality. Rather, we find our greatest strengths and purposes magnified and most effective within the context of community. I don't know about you, but I don't know who I am if I'm not serving. Our sixth point delves into the need for active leadership among Christian women, a call to mobilize our faith into dynamic action. Romans 12, 6 through 8 doesn't merely suggest, but actively encourages us to use our God-given gifts for the benefit of communities. We have different gifts according to the graces given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. This directive makes it clear that leadership isn't reserved for the few. It is a call to all who follow Christ, regardless of gender. This encouragement is crucial, especially considering that women often face barriers to leadership, both within and outside of religious communities. By actively stepping into leadership roles, we not only fulfill a biblical mandate, but also challenge the status quo that often limits women's roles in both church and society. Leadership in this context doesn't always mean taking charge of a large organization or speaking from a pulpit. It can manifest in leading a small group, advocating for justice in your community, mentoring younger women, or simply living out your faith boldly in your workplace or home. Each act of leadership, no matter how small it might seem, contributes to a larger tapestry of change, and it can inspire others to do the same. As we embrace this call, we discover that leadership is not just about authority. It's about making a difference, advancing the kingdom, and empowering others to find their voice and calling in Christ. For this reason, I am launching a group coaching program called The Faith Print for Christian women to help them step boldly into the areas that God has called them to lead. And you can join the waitlist and be notified when the program starts accepting students below. Our final point today touches on perhaps one of the most challenging aspects of our faith, submitting to God's plan, especially when it contradicts our personal desires. This concept of submission is not about passivity. It's about active trust and obedience, even when the path forward seems uncertain or contrary to our own ambitions. It's about recognizing that our Creator knows us better than we know ourselves, and that His plans for us are for ultimate good and His glory. Take a moment to consider the life of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing imminent suffering and death. He prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." And that's in Luke 22. This profound act of submission was not easy or painless, yet it was pivotal to the salvation plan. Similarly, when we align our lives with God's will, we might find ourselves navigating paths we wouldn't have chosen, paths that might even lead through valleys of hardship. But there's immense power and peace in knowing that we are in God's hands, following His lead. He's done this before, right? This truth hits home for me personally in a dramatic way. My journey from a life led by my own desires, a life that led to heartbreak and loss, to one guided by God's directive was transformational. I went from pursuing my truth and facing its destructive consequences to embracing God's truth, which led to restoration and purpose. When I chose to die to my desires and live for God's plan, the transformation wasn't just spiritual, it was total. It was complete, and it affected every aspect of my life. You can listen to my testimony by clicking the link below. So as we reflect on this, let's ask ourselves, where might God be asking us to let go of our plans? Where might He be inviting us to trust Him more deeply? Embracing this call to submission is not about losing our identity, but finding our truest selves in Him. It's about stepping into the life that God has dreamed for us, a life far richer and more fulfilling than anything. As we close this episode, consider what submitting to God's plan might look like in your life. It might be challenging, but it's also the path to true freedom and fulfillment. Thank you so much for taking the time to watch today. Today, we went over the 7 hard truths for Christian women as it relates to New Age and New Age spirituality. And I thank you so much for taking this journey with me. I can't wait to go on more journeys with you in the future and look forward to talking to you. See you next time.